dance on my soul, sisters. Let me hear your flow, sisters.
Hey, sister, go, sister, soul, sister, flow, sister. Oh.
You're listening to Helmets and Heels, built by Dreamfinders Homes.
Presented by Underwood Jewelers and American Window Products.
On 1010 XL, 92.5 FM.
Hey, ladies.
Hello.
Hey. So we are going to get to studs and duds here very quickly. And we have a couple of thank yous, like I mentioned at the top. But I want to say, you know, a huge appreciation from us to them. First of all, Scott Irvine, thank you so much. You have been the best producer that we could have ever asked for.
Well, thank you very much. It's always fun working with you ladies.
Well, thank you. You always listen in as to what we're going to do next and then hit just the perfect song. And then we also have a special guest in studio that we will have on air in a little bit. Alex from the United Kingdom. I don't know how to pronounce his last name other than maybe Igus. No, not even close. All right, when he joins us,
Alex,
he will tell us
from the UK is what we're saying.
Exactly how to pronounce his last name, but he will join us. So sweet that he wanted to come in studio with us. We never have people who just want to listen in from the studio, and so, you know, from across the pond. That's never actually happened.
So kind of a big deal.
Yeah, kind of a big deal is exactly right. All right, so let's get to one of the hot trending topics. Olivia Munn is a pretty famous woman. By the way, she's 35, for those of you who don't know.
Oh, I did not know that.
See, right? Like, I looked it up today because I'm a stalker.
I didn't mean that as, like, a bad thing. I just had no idea.
Right, I didn't know either. And so she's gorgeous, and she is dating Aaron Rodgers. A lot of people, including one particular reporter, have blamed her as potentially why the Packers had lost before this past weekend. What was it, 3 games in a row? So if you were the girlfriend of someone who played in the NFL and someone blamed you for losses, how would you react? And do you think it's fair?
And definitely not fair. I would, the finger waving would start with me. Like, let me tell you something. But I think with any relationship, you never know what's going on behind closed doors. If there's something happening with them, we'll never know the full details of that. And it's none of our business to know any of that. But I think if there is some trouble, it's hard to say that it's not affecting his work, because I think all of us can attest to a situation in our life where something has happened personally and it has affected your concentration,
never,
your focus at work.
Never.
Yeah, I see that wink.
Yeah.
No, that's not fair at all. First of all, if you're an elite quarterback, you already know how to compartmentalize things. So you could be dealing with something as simple as, like, you have the hiccups or something didn't go well yesterday, and you just forget about it so that you can play your game and you do your job well. I know that relationships, like you said, Blythe, can sometimes be difficult, be challenging, take up a lot of time. But I take Aaron Rodgers for a guy that's pretty smart, and I don't think that he would stay in a relationship that was bad. Obviously, we don't know if it's bad. We have no idea. But to say that she is a distraction is not fair at all, especially since so many NFL players are married with kids.
Right.
If we want to talk about distraction, Philip Rivers has 17 children, for crying out loud, okay? He actually has 8, but it's basically 17. So maybe we can say that he's distracted, because I sure would be distracted with that many children.
Well, you're right. I think anyone would be. Here's what I loved about it, too, is, like, Brad Paisley came out and tweeted when they did win, like, hey, great job working the playbook, Olivia Munn.
Really?
Yes. And apparently they are friends, Olivia and Brad, because, okay, of course, when you're a celebrity.
Oh, Olivia and Brad.
They're right. Like, you're friends with all those people. But I think it's completely and totally ludicrous.
It is.
To think that someone who spends way more time than most people at their jobs focused on their dream job would ever in a million years let a relationship affect them. And I do wonder if someone like J.J. Watt, phenomenal defensive end for the Texans, affects something like this in the media, not the football players' minds, but the media, when he comes out and says, hey, I'm only focused on football,
right,
and I'm not looking to date anyone until football is over because I want to give it my full concentration.
But don't you think this kind of happens only if the significant other is famous? Like, it's happening with Russell Wilson and Ciara.
Yes,
it's happened
absolutely
with Tom Brady and Giselle.
Yes.
Nobody's bringing up Philip Rivers' wife whenever, right, he only scores 3 points on Sunday.
Precisely. Right. Nobody brought up Daniel Murphy and the fact that he's married when he was hitting the home runs right before the World Series.
I think it depends on the person, because some people put everything they have into a relationship. Like, they will, like, miss work for things or, like, miss that with family just to make sure that their significant other is happy. Whereas someone else knows, okay, well, I have this really important job I have to take care of. Yes, I can still be with you, but we're going to have to find some give and take, and it takes some sort of balance. But, like I said, some people like to give it their all, so I guess it depends. But I don't know, maybe J.J. Watt's the kind of person that the second he gets a girlfriend, it's all about her, and football isn't his top priority anymore, which I don't see happening.
JJ, don't send me flowers every day.
Only every other day.
Only on Sundays when you're playing.
JJ would be the person who would go and get, like, a famous girlfriend, because everybody knows he doesn't like the limelight at all.
Right.
Whatsoever.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll see. But, all right, let's get to our studs and duds, one of my favorite parts of the program, because we get to praise people who deserve it, and we get to blast people who have been very poor in discretion, typically. Blythe, we are going to start with you, because Donna Murphy, she is taking this week to enjoy Thanksgiving with her family. We miss her dearly. And I have a feeling that I picked someone that she would agree with on both of mine. But all right, Blythe, we're going to start with you. Nope. Oh, no, ma'am. Went a little off the radar.
I would have picked Cam Newton again, just because I would have too. Such a great game.
And that picture with the little boy with cancer. Yeah. Come on.
He gave, I think it was 5 touchdowns. He gave all 5 balls to children in the stands.
That's
so great. I almost picked him. I'm like, oh, I can't pick him again. I almost picked Tom Brady for his Rex Ryan audible call last night.
Fantastic.
I thought that was hilarious. But I'm going to go with Kristaps Porzingis. He is NBA rookie for the Knicks, and I was in Madison Square Garden a couple weeks ago and actually got to see my first NBA game. Shout out to Sarah, who hooked it up big
Woo-hoo.
Time. But she, or not she, Kristaps Porzingis.
hooked you up with Kristaps. Sort of.
No, I don't think so. But he's had like 6 double-doubles. He had a game-winning block on Saturday against James Harden with the Rockets. And this is a guy that was booed tremendously whenever he was first drafted this year. I think it was 4th overall by the Knicks. So to see him make that sort of turnaround and then come out and just dominate as somebody from Europe, I think he's from Latvia, 30% of the players in the NBA now make up are European players.
Very nice.
Wow.
Good call. Amanda's still Googling hers. I assume that she's going to pick Jameis, so let's see if she goes off
I'm
and away
not,
from Jameis.
I actually just got a text. Your stud better be Jameis.
Oh, see, I was along those lines
at
least.
Well, it's close, but not really. My stud is Rashad Greene, because obviously.
He went to Florida State.
No, that actually has nothing to do with it. It might have a little something to do with it, but he basically won the game for the Jaguars on Thursday night. And I wanted to give him a shout-out because when we do studs, we typically kind of forget about things that happened more than a few days ago, like last Thursday. But who could forget about Rashad Greene's 63-yard punt return to get him into the red zone to then score and win the game?
Probably wouldn't have won that game if we didn't, get that return.
Absolutely
I concur. No, that was a good one. I've been trying to stay away from anything that relates to us particularly.
I know, but I can't help it.
Based off of Tony Smith calling us out
okay.
as homering recently. So therefore, but this one, like I said, I think Donna would agree with both my stud and my dud. My stud, and I might cry when I say this, so just ignore me if I do. Nate Solder's son, Hudson, he is battling kidney cancer at the age of 4 months. The football player's season ended with a torn bicep, but he made a point when they asked him about discussing his son's illness last night on the broadcast to make sure that families around America whose kids are also dealing with this, that they got recognized, because not everyone has as much funding as Nate does.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so that, to me, was the most poignant point of the broadcast last night when not just mentioning, and this boy, if you have not seen him, please look up Hudson Solder. He is so freaking precious. But he's battling this disease, and also Nate wanted to make sure that just everyone who deals with something like this, not just their kids with kidney cancer, but cancer around America, which is obviously such a huge ordeal for the families and for the kids, that they were all mentioned and gave thought to last night. And so stopped the broadcast, literally put it on pause, cried a little bit, wrote down Hudson Solder so that tonight I would not forget Hudson's name. Yeah, it was, oh.
Four months old.
Mm-hmm. He was diagnosed. He's a couple months older than that now. He's been through 5 treatments, and he has 14 more treatments to go. And it, for everyone who either has kids or has someone close to them with babies, your heart literally breaks when they have a cold. And so to have something where they have to get needles put in them, is right. And so just though for all those kids who are fighting, and who was it? Leah Stills, who, you know, was a public figure last year, and her dad unfortunately got cut from the Bengals, Devin Stills. But still, it just makes you think about how fortunate some people are to be able to make this public so that so many other families. And Nate Solder wanted to recognize the Joe Andruzzi Foundation, and that's why his wife actually encouraged him to release the news about Hudson so that people would give money and donations to that foundation. So, yeah, whatever the circumstances, we just want to send our prayers and thoughts to all those who are dealing with that, especially at this time of thanks. So that was a little serious. Let's get to our duds. As soon as we get back, we are going to get to some fun stuff on the show tonight, including some Thanksgiving stuff and something that's a little silly on how to deal with a drunk guy at a bar. There is a story in there, I promise. You are listening to Helmets and Heels on 92.5 FM.
Helmets and Heels, built by Dreamfinders Homes.
Presented by Underwood Jewelers and American Window Products.
On 1010 XL, 92.5 FM.
Welcome back to Helmets and Heels with Blythe, Amanda, Lauren, and Zach Brown. And Scott.
Zach.
I love Zach.
You know what I just saw for the first time last night? I know I'm late to the party. The Zach Brown, J.J. Watt commercial.
Oh, yeah.
I just saw it for the first time.
Well, you know what? Better late than never.
True.
We are built by Dreamfinders Homes. We had such a blast at the Dreamfinders tailgate party last Thursday night before the Bold Rush. Goodness gracious, it was a good time.
That was fun.
All that had to be said around us was more beer, which wasn't for us, naturally.
No.
But for the people that won the tailgate from 1010, and you know what happened? More beer was brought in. Mm-hmm. It was a great time. And that's when several pictures of Blythe's gold leggings were taken and
they emerged after the beer showed up.
Oh, no. The beer is way before that.
My mistake.
That's what happens when you get to go to the games as a fan.
Of the great things that Blythe learned is that beer repels off those gold leggings.
Oh, nice. They're waterproof.
No.
I just
decided that that's like, what that they looked like. So.
No, they're just fake leather pants from Amazon for like
that's
13
what I mean.
Bucks.
They seem repellent.
You guys make fun of my fake flannel, and she had fake leather on.
No. Back
and they were
up.
Fabulous.
I don't make fun of your faux flannel. You told everyone on air earlier that you were wearing faux flannel.
Well,
so I decided to call it that because you called it that.
Yeah, okay, you got to own it.
Oh, I'm totally owning it.
All right, let's get to some duds. For crying out loud. Blythe, who came up short in your book this past week and weekend?
Football officiating. College and the pro level.
It's a good one.
I'm glad that the Jaguars were on the good side of it a couple weeks back with the ending of the Baltimore game. But this past weekend, we saw a guy catch a ball, take 4 steps into the end zone. They called it a touchdown on the field. They reviewed the play in college because, all scoring plays are automatically reviewed. They reviewed it and overturned the touchdown, and then the Big Ten stood by the decision when it's clearly a touchdown. We saw a couple instances last night with a fake whistle call,
the way the game ended.
Right, and just in general, I think a lot of people are now calling for these officials to be full-time instead of part-time, which I kind of agree with. I think if you're a part-time employee, you don't necessarily have the time or the energy to focus fully on what your job is, and with the rules expanding as much as they are, I heard somebody say that it's like a 76-page rule book now that these guys have to know on a part-time basis. I think that's a little unfair that they're getting judged on a national scale for something that's a part-time job.
Well, I think that anyone who was awake last night, and it normally is not me, but I took a nice little nap in between the game, so I woke up for the end of it, and I heard Mike Tirico say to everyone, like, well, this has been a funny officiated game, or whatever his word was. And like that, to me, right then and there, should spark, hopefully, the change to the NFL. Because you have your marquee network with the ESPN playing the game. You have one of your marquee broadcasters in Mike Tirico along with John Gruden on the game. And they're calling out the officials right at the end of it. It wasn't even like a big break or they went to commercial and came back and said it. It was before they even went away from the broadcast.
And that it. One of the refs admitted today that he actually mistakenly applied a college rule to an NFL game.
Yes.
And I'm like, well, I mean, these guys are human. It's gonna happen occasionally. But I mean, start taking the integrity of the game a little bit more seriously.
Well, like you said, they should be more than part time. I think to take the ownership.
Right.
Yeah. Two things for me. One, I don't know that they can ever be full time because if you take a step back and look at when they're officiating games, they're not. Like, if you took a full-time 9-to-5 job, that doesn't equate to refereeing 3 games a week or something.
Well, no, but they get paid, like, 6 figures.
And they could also take classes. But, I mean, they have all these classes now at the college level where it's, like, virtual reality, and they could essentially apply that to officiating.
Right.
And they could practice. I mean, the more they practice, the more that they put themselves in that kind of situation, the less room for error when it actually matters.
That's true. I forget my second point because I forget what we were talking about.
Our duds of the week.
That's our no, blonde. That's our resident blonde on the show, ladies and gentlemen, when Donna's not here.
You said
virtual reality?
No.
Part-time basis?
I don't remember. Literally, it's gone. It's gone. All right, but
was
I do
number
have a dud.
To your dud? Yeah, maybe that was your dud.
No, I did have something else to say, but I will go straight to my dud, and that is
beautiful. Thank you.
Gosh, what am I doing? My dud is Johnny Manziel.
No.
How many weeks in a
Dang
row?
It. He's my Johnny Manziel.
We're gonna
I mean,
have to
dud.
Start putting like
Not
an X
Manziel.
On Johnny Manziel
Listen.
And.
I have
Cowboys.
A different one, though. I have a different one that I can come up with. But mine was clearly done in advance because
well,
it's printed and printed.
You didn't tell me.
No, we never share anymore because
right.
you stole the first week.
I did not.
Yes, did.
See, even Alex is saying it.
He is absurd. Okay? You are playing in the National Football League. Why are you not taking this seriously? I don't get it.
It's funny. So I met my cousin for dinner, and she came back with, hey, why can't you just leave him alone? And I said, have you ever had your dream job and had your boss come to you and say, hey, can you just tweak this one little thing? And then maybe you'll end up being extremely successful. She's like, but he's not messing up his opportunity just by, you know, hanging out and having a good time. And I said, that's a valid point. However, he just got out of rehab.
But
like, clearly
not only
this
that,
is an issue.
When you're the quarterback of a team, you are the leader. The leader that everyone looks up to, you are it. And if you're out partying and no one can take you seriously, that trickles down to when you're at work, when you're on the practice field, when you're in the locker room, no one's going to look up to you and take you seriously if that's what you're out doing. Tell me about any other quarterbacks that are doing what Johnny Manziel is doing and having success. No one.
Right.
My that bigger, we know of. That
my
we know
bigger
of.
Frustration with him is that he's had these threats in the past, which the coach has said, Mike Pettine, if you don't get it together, this will happen. If someone tells you that and you're an adult and you don't get it together, hey, I'm sorry. Nobody has any sort of sympathy or pity for you.
Well, I know that they weren't exactly sure if the video came from this weekend, last I heard. I know that he was benched. He's now the third string quarterback.
Right.
But I think they were still looking into if the video came from this past weekend or if it was from March, from what I read. And if it's from March, then give me a break.
It's completely different.
But
right.
if it's
right.
from this past weekend, I would bench him and I would never let him see play
is
another down
he,
for my team.
Is he defending himself? Like, is he saying, because I haven't seen anything.
I don't think he's come out and said anything.
He said videos can be old. That's really all he hinted to.
Okay.
And I guess the song that he's singing in there came out in March. So that's what
I think.
I think that's
I
where the two people are.
I would never sing a song that came out in November back in March.
Guys.
Or sing a song that came out in March. And I would never sing that in November.
listen.
But I think that the root of all this is if this did come from last weekend, then it's definitely a serious problem for him. And he has to step away from football for a little while.
He just can't handle it. That's the problem. He's too immature, I think, unfortunately.
Well, and
he's had multiple chances.
Mm-hmm.
And the Browns are
That's
sick
my frustration.
Of it. So
right.
over
the
it.
Browns are sick of you?
Right. They don't want any distractions. They're already sucking it up. Why would they want you to keep bringing them down?
All right, so since you inadvertently took mine.
I'm sorry.
And that's quite all right. That's why I used the adjective inadvertently. So I'm going to go with the Falcons.
Okay.
And the Jets. And you know why?
Yes.
Because they couldn't beat the Colts, especially the Falcons. They're up 21-7 at one point. I was getting a pedicure for crying out loud. I look up. I'm cheering them on. I finished my pedicure, and I wanted to beat someone. And then secondly, the Jets. How do you lose it to the Texans for crying out loud?
I was going to decorate for Christmas on Sunday if both of those teams won.
Yeah?
Yeah. And they
didn't. So no more decorations.
So no Christmas
Black
decorations.
Christmas is over. I also thought about using, who was the other one? Crap. I'm pulling an Amanda.
There's a Redskins player that I was going to call out. They lost very badly, and I'm blanking on his name, but he blamed the officiating in his game because of the name Redskins. He thinks that they're getting unfairly penalized.
Oh, that's right. That's true.
Which I thought was a little ridiculous.
Oh, I was of
when
course
they won
gonna,
the week before.
Yeah, I was going to throw in Greg Hardy just based on the fact, not because we haven't talked about him enough.
I didn't even want to give him any air time.
Right.
As my
he
dad.
Was late again, like twice.
But didn't I think the Cowboys cut two guys because they didn't wear the proper uniform, but they're not going to cut Greg Hardy? Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
I think it was something really irrelevant, like they didn't wear the proper clothing to the road trip, and so they were cut. Stop.
That would be really funny if you went to work one day and they were like, hey, that faux flannel is not going to cut it.
You got to go. You're out. Pack your bags. Don't ever show your face here again.
We'd like you to sign here on your termination agreement and don't come back. And also, you're going to miss a fantastic Christmas party.
On my birthday. Year.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, the Christmas party is on my birthday.
What
so
are you going to wear?
I don't know.
Like a sequin thing, maybe?
I would like to wear a tacky Christmas sweater because I always do that.
Oh, so there we go.
I Her did buy decided. A t-shirt today from Target that says mistletoe and mimosas.
I was told yesterday about that from Caitlin.
And
she told me she got it, and I was like, you didn't get two? Yeah, for crying out loud.
Well, now I need to get a birthday / Christmas party outfit. It should be like all glitter sequins.
No,
I want to be comfortable. I'd rather dress like a tacky Christmas party. That's my favorite. Sort of side note, did you guys see the new beard trend where guys are putting glitter in their beards?
I saw you tweet
it's
that.
So gross.
And I was hoping that was just something like Star Wars-ish that only you would tweet.
Only you. It's only going to get worse. There used to be a trend that people put flowers in their beards.
They're putting ornaments, too,
which I thought was kind of cool. Here's the thing with beard trends. Nobody actually does it, okay? You see, like, pictures of beard models on the internet, and you're like, oh, this is a trend. This is cool. No, nobody's actually putting glitter in their beard. They're not doing
it. I saw a lot of pictures today of guys doing it.
I want you to do this. If you go to the grocery store and you see a glitter bearded man, I want you to take a photo for me.
I feel like that's more of a special event kind of thing. I don't wear glitter out everywhere, but I feel like if maybe New Year's Eve they'll dress it up.
I think it's terrible. Just need to be focused on getting the food out of their beards.
Speaking of beards, did you see Google for the ladies out there who grew up watching Hey Arnold the cartoon? Google the guy who voices the Hey Arnold character. You can thank me later.
Sexy beard man.
Yes.
All right. Well, good to know. Okay, I want to mention that we are so excited to give away a Peterbrook chocolate heel tonight. Because you know what you guys can do, and you ladies? You can give that to somebody else, and then they will say thank you so much to you. All you have to do is tweet a picture of your turkey, whether it is wrapped and you haven't cooked it yet, whether you're having an early Thanksgiving, like I got a picture of earlier, or whether it's somewhere in between. I'm not sure, you know, whether you're already stuffing it or whether it's in the freezer, which, by the way, don't do that because that will turn out really badly. I've had that experience. But just send a picture of your turkey to @helmetsandheels, helmets, A-N-D, heels, not the ampersand in between. We've thought about that in the past.
I love that word, ampersand.
Ampersand. So @helmetsandheels, that's all you got to do. Tweet us a picture. We are going to pick a winner. You are going to get a phenomenal chocolate heel, and it really is a gorgeous heel from Peterbrook Chocolatier.
And you get to eat it.
And you get to eat it, that's right. We have a special guest in from the United Kingdom that we are going to talk to next. Alex, I got it right. Yes. from the United Kingdom. You are listening to Helmets and Heels, built by Dream Finders Homes on 1010XL on 2.5 FM.
You're listening to Helmets and Heels, built by Dream Finders Homes.
Presented by Underwood Jewelers and American Window Products.
On 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
We are Helmets and Heels, built by Dream Finder Homes. And it's come across my desk the last few days that people actually listen to our show, not just here in America, but also across the pond. And so, therefore, at this time, we want to say thank you, because it's Thanksgiving week, to everyone who listens to our show, and also a special thank you to those who listen religiously, I will say, from over in England. Hi, Alex. How are you?
Hello. I'm good. Thank you. Thank you for having me on your show.
Oh, my gosh. Absolutely. Thank you so much for wanting to come and join us, and thank you for our presents. We got keychains with each of our initials on there. Mine is, of course, the L. And it's got Big Ben on there. It's got, like, English flag colors.
Double-decker
British
bus.
Flag colors. Yep. Yeah, double-decker bus. I love it. So you've been in the States for the first time ever over the past week. You've gotten to go to, most importantly, a North Florida basketball game, a UNF basketball game. Mm. That I know is number one on your list. in addition, you got to go to the Jaguars game Thursday night. Tell us what it's been like so far and all the places you've been.
Well, for me, to go to a game at the Everbank Field is just a dream come true. It's something that I've been wanting to do for the last 3 years. And to see them win, absolutely fantastic.
Did you think we were going to win in the fourth quarter?
I was getting a bit nervous. I was on the edge of that seat, you know.
Did you wear a Bold Rush jersey? I have to know.
No.
Okay.
I have my Bold City Brigade t-shirt on.
Nice. Very nice. I was really surprised how many people had the gold jerseys on. Because I looked up the price, it was a good old $150 for that jersey.
Not for some gold pants.
So I was impressed with how many people not just had them, but I think it was the quick turnaround with which they released it and then they already had it.
It's so funny that you mentioned that, actually, because when I was tailgate reporting during the pregame show.
She almost said tailgating people.
No, I didn't. Tailgate reporting. There's a big difference. Not really. I was at the Bold Rush tailgate party. When they had, like, the stage, they had the Neil Diamond cover band and whatever. And
Super Diamond.
Every time I called in, because I couldn't use a mic because we were too far away, JP and Dempsey would be like, so, like, tell us about all the gold you're seeing. And I'm like, welp, there's lots of teal and black, but I'm still waiting on the gold. And I'd see, like, three people wearing gold and, like, everyone else in black and teal. And I kept being like, should I lie? Like, do I say there's so much gold out here? I didn't see any gold.
Really?
Yeah. Not at all.
It's kind of sad, I guess.
No.
I mean, sad in the sense, but not really, though. That's not one of our main colors.
That's the thing. I mean, gold is a cool color if you own it, but to go out and buy it for one game, I mean, you could wear it again, of course, but I think people just love their black and teal.
I don't know. I loved those gold jerseys. I thought uniforms looked sharp. I really liked it.
I like the gold against the light sherbet blue. I don't know that I like them
sherbert
every night.
Sherbert blue?
Yeah, the Titans.
Where did that come from, the sherbert blue?
Sherbert colors are like, you know, lighter colors.
Pastel, yeah, but have you ever had sherbert blue?
Yeah, like a blueberry sherbert.
What? I've
Save us, Al.
What do you mean?
I was just going to say that I've got a lot of friends back in England, Jaguars fans, who have been asking me to buy the gold jerseys while I'm here, so I've got a suitcase full of them that I'm taking back.
Oh, wow!
Nice. Are there any ladies small to medium that
yes,
I might pick out and then be like, oh, sorry, I got lost in transit. Hey, you were waiting for this. All right, so you've been to how many local places? I know I saw your whole itinerary, and you had a lot of places that I was like, yes, way to already have those on there, because that's what I would have recommended.
Well, I visited downtown and the Landing.
Right.
The Museum of Contemporary Art.
Okay,
nice.
Last night I was out at the beach. That was really good fun.
Where at the beach?
Went to Zeta.
Zeta. Yeah, okay. We broadcasted from Zeta, so shout out to them.
Stayed overnight in Casa Marina Hotel.
Nice.
Lovely view out by the beach.
Did you go
up
to the penthouse?
I did. It's beautiful. Well,
it's a hike, but it's fantastic. And you went to Bold City too, right? Bold City Brewery?
Yes.
That's a good
look
spot.
At that. He has done things that I haven't even done, and I've lived here for 7 months. So there's that.
That's why your nickname is lame. Gorgeous. I'm kidding. It's hate week, right?
Hate
Didn't
week.
We start off
yeah.
with that?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Fine.
So what do you have left on the docket?
Well, it's my birthday on Saturday.
Oh, happy early birthday.
Thank you. I'm going to be 35, and I'm going to...
So you can date Olivia Munn. She's 35.
There it is.
I'm going to a small little game in Gainesville that somebody's...
Florida State.
Wow. Okay.
Oh, wow.
Here's the big question.
Who are
this
you cheering
for? This is where
for?
We draw the line in the sand, Alex, from the UK. Who are you rooting for, and what colors will you be sporting?
Well, I'll be wearing a blue-colored jersey.
Leave.
Depends on who gave him the tickets, I feel like. Whoever gave you the tickets,
yeah.
That's
okay,
it.
You're right.
And also...
But you have gold that you purchased, so you can wear some gold, right?
No.
So blue and gold?
No, that does not work.
It totally
works. Don't be halfway.
Alex, you
be
need to root for the winning team. That's what we do here
that's
in America.
That's what he's planning to do.
All Americans like Florida State.
Alex, notice how Alex isn't saying anything.
Like, he doesn't want to stir the pot.
I just thought I'd leave Lauren and Amanda to argue it out.
When before he came to the United States, he emailed me, not you, Amanda, and asked if he could join our show in studio, and also told me that he was going to that game. So naturally, who is he going to be cheering for but the team that he has an affinity towards?
You guys should have made a bet for this game.
We should have? No. What if we end up watching together? That's a whole other topic.
Oh, we're not. I refuse.
It's not what you said on Saturday night.
Even mean?
It means what you think it means. All right, Alex, predict the Jaguars-Chargers game for us this Sunday, and will you get to go?
I will be at the Jaguars-Chargers game.
It'll be awesome because it's military appreciation, which is one of the best things that the Jaguars do.
It'll be the third game that I've attended this season.
Right, because you got to go to Jags-Bills.
And the Bills won. Sorry, and the Jaguars won. And I was at Thursday Night Football, and the Jags won. So I'm predicting.
He's our good luck charm.
So I'm predicting another Jaguars win on Sunday.
I love the way you say Jaguars.
Jaguars.
Jaguars. I'm going to start saying that from now on.
No, you're not.
I'm going to try.
Don't.
Uh-oh.
So
I can practice.
You said you have a lot of fans that are Jags back home. So how do you guys watch the games? Is it online? How do you kind of consume the Jaguars?
So you have a product here called NFL Game Pass, which I think has just come out this season. We've had that overseas for the past 7 to 8 years now.
Oh, perfect.
And we watch all the games on that, sort of streaming online. Unfortunately, it's always 2 minutes behind the live action, so we always get the Twitch updates before we see what happens.
How did you become a fan of the Jaguars?
So I played what I would call American football at college. And I became a fan of the sport, and I really, really enjoyed it. But I didn't have a team. And then the Jaguars said they were going to start coming to London. And they sent a lot of personnel over. They sent their drumline over, their cheerleaders over, their public relations guy came over. They made a huge effort. Like, these guys kept coming over, like, month after month. And it's a long flight, so I can tell you. And they made a huge effort to reach out, and I just thought, yeah, these are really, really nice people. I got to know them a bit just through talking to them and meeting them in London. And I thought, yeah, these are the people who I want to be with.
That's so cool.
Awesome. That's really cool. Awesome.
Yeah, it's totally our goal as a show to be able to go over to one of the games before the series ends. What is it now?
2020.
2020, right? Yeah. So
we have some time, but...
Sooner rather than later.
We're only getting older.
And also, sponsors, contact us. But no, seriously, we would love to be able to go and experience it, because I have heard that it's such a hodgepodge of NFL fans with all 32 jerseys, and it's not something you could ever experience anywhere else, even including the Super Bowl. So I think it would be a great experience. And so you're... basically saying that you're going to host us the entire time we're there, right?
Right.
Sure.
Show us around. Tell us all the good spots to go to.
Buy all our drinks, all of our food.
Now you're pushing it.
Really?
I'll tell you what. You guys come over, and I'll let you know where all the hot spots are.
Nice.
Perfect.
This year I hosted, we can't have a tailgate party like you guys can. It's against our law to grill outdoors in a pub.
Oh.
Car park. I hosted a pregame event to... English breakfast and a whole bunch of Jaguars fans. So
nice.
You come over and I'll invited to my event.
Nice.
I'm excited. I don't even know when it's going to happen.
I just love breakfast.
Me too.
And I love football. So do you have mimosas or Bloody Marys or what you got?
He doesn't know.
Straight vodka?
We can get you anything you want.
Oh, perfect. Well, I'll just have a water. Thanks.
Liar.
Alex, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Yes,
especially thank you for coming
and listening.
Specifically
and
wanting, specifically wanting to watch our show. You listen to our show. The only time you missed was last week ever since the show was on air. Was last week since you were in air. So thank you for being one of our biggest fans.
Well, thank you very much. It's nice to be able to listen to you at a more sociable hour. In London, we're about 5 hours ahead, so usually your show's on at midnight for me.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
You're dedicated. That's awesome.
The real reason is you're more dedicated than anyone that we know.
Absolutely.
So thank you. All right. So now we are going to get to a little bit about a debate between traditional media and new age media. And Blythe is going to lead the charge on this one because, as offensive as it is to a lot of people, it especially offends her when someone says that bloggers are people reporting or even just writing from their mother's basement. So, Blythe, take it away.
Okay. So, I think a lot was kind of made on Twitter last night whenever there was apparently a conference and it invited several ESPN personalities to the show in order to talk about the state of media, where they think it's headed. So they had a couple ESPN personalities and Tony Kornheiser, Michael Wilbon, and a few other people. And they were asked about the coverage now of sports and how it's moved from a traditional journalistic relationship with a player, you know, locker room access, getting the quotes, and then turning it into a story. And that's where the fans get the majority of their team news from. Now it's turned into, well, a reporter can just video a locker room interview and then everybody else can watch it and take any quotes, anything that they want, take it out of context or maybe research it further and then post it online and it's up for interpretation. What I kind of took offense to is the whole, you know, a blogger is just somebody that sits in their mother's basement is sort of tired and old to me. It's sort of like a, you know, like a 10, 15 year old phrase that's been used. But what I don't like is that the work of several journalists, and I would call them journalists because they take the same routes as a traditional media person that went to school for journalism. They take the same routes. They work just as hard, and I don't think that you should discredit any of their work just because they didn't go to an esteemed journalism school. So that's where I really took a lot of offense to it. But I found it a little ironic that where I read the story was a blog and they didn't get the full scope of the information. So they're complaining about Michael Wilbon calling them and saying that they're blogging from their mother's basements. But I just did a simple Google search and found that it wasn't really what he said full heartedly. Yes, he did say those words, but he also threw in, well, as long as you work hard and you talk to people face to face, you don't rely on Twitter, you don't rely just on email, you have to get that personal approach to it. And that's something that bloggers, I think, are at a severe disadvantage because they do write the majority of their time from their house. That was just my little spiel on it. There was one quote in particular that I think came from the Washington Post columnist, Sally Jenkins, that I thought was really, really insightful. And she said, I think it's important, though, to point out that some of these internet outlets that we're calling fly-by-night journalists have kind of kept mainstream sports media a little bit honest. I mean, let's face it, the Deflategate story in the NFL was a bit of a collusion between mainstream beat writers and the NFL, and I think that that's where the responsible websites, responsible websites, not Barstool Sports, I think, was thrown in this mix, and I don't find them responsible whatsoever. I think they're one of those sites that are very clickbaity. But there are other websites out there that I think that do a really great job. Awful Announcing is one of them. Obviously, I take a very serious approach with Guys Girl with anything that we do. And then a few other websites. Deadspin is another one that comes to mind, even though a few of their stories I would say are a little shady, but the majority of their reporting is very, very well done. And I was sort of just curious on your guys' standpoints coming from traditional media and how you feel about sort of, I guess, the new mainstream.
I have an opinion on it, and I don't have a problem at all with blogs. In fact, the thing I like most about people who blog is when they put their own opinion on a subject out there. I think that's the point of blogging. I have an issue with people that take a more serious approach to blogging and use it as an outlet to report facts and information, or they use it to form opinions on things they might not know. So, for example, when I'm at the Jaguar Stadium for the majority of my week, and then I go and read a blog about something that's not true, and they're forming an opinion, but they don't go down to the stadium, and they're not in the locker room talking to players. They're not talking to coach to find out what's really going on. They're just saying, oh, well, this sucks. I don't know why they're not fixing it, or whatever. And everyone's entitled to their opinion, so that's fine. You can write that. My only issue is when someone calls themselves a media outlet, but they don't do the dirty work to figure out what's really going on. That's my only issue. But I love when people take the time to blog about issues and things that they are passionate about, and they put their opinions out there, because mainstream media is not for opinions. Yes, there's the Pardon the Interruption, and there's some other shows out there, but when you're watching SportsCenter, you're getting facts and news, and that's...
You hope you are.
Well, yes, but what I mean is, like, they're not there to provide their opinions and explain why they feel the way they do, so I like that blogs provide that outlet. And I like that anyone can do it. I think that's amazing. Can they do it the same as everyone else? No.
That's any profession, I think.
Right, right. But I'm saying, like, if someone wants to create a blog, then they can. It just takes a lot of work to gain credibility.
In the literary world, it's called a cliffhanger, and that's what we have here. I will give my opinion when we come back. You're listening to Helmets and Heels, built by Dreamfinders Homes on 1010 XL, 92.5 FM. We are going to get some Jaguars football. You're listening to Helmets and Heels, built by Dreamfinders Homes. And just so you know, in case you have not yet been this Sunday, Jags fans, all you have to do is walk to the Dreamfinders Home inside Gate 4, and you can register to win an iPad Mini. It's so easy, and there's a winner for each and every game. That's right. All you have to do is go in, say hi to our good friend Jen, who hosted us on Thursday night, and register for the iPad Mini. You really don't even have to drop Helmets and Heels, built by Dreamfinders Homes. But maybe yours will get thrown to the top, if so.
And if you haven't checked out the home yet, you totally should, because
it's gorgeous.
Stunning.
It's such a great Jags twist.
Yeah, it has a Jags theme, but every feature, every detail in that home is just one of a kind, and it's amazing.
And the fact that they are going to break it up and give it to a military veteran is even more phenomenal than it already
is. I'm so excited for that announcement.
Right? I kind of want to be there. I want to cut the tape.
Can we, like, I think we'll be a part of
all four of us, like, cut it with a giant pair of scissors?
Yes. Whoever gets the house should let us have sleepovers there sometimes.
I don't know that I'm going to go that far.
I would love
to. What if it's a married couple?
Oh,
what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, it may not be a single guy, Amanda.
I'm sorry I spoke too soon.
She's only in if it's a single guy.
No, that's not even what I said.
Tweet her at Amanda. I'm just kidding. All right, so if you want to win the Peterbrook chocolate heel, all you have to do is tweet at Helmets and Heels a picture of your turkey. I snuck a peek at my parents' turkey this past weekend. I was a little bit flabbergasted at the price. And
turkeys are expensive.
Yeah. And so I was like, well, I mean, it does make sense. I mean, that's a big bird.
Yeah.
And it has to be, you know, perfect for our family Thanksgiving. And we will get some Thanksgiving stuff. First, I'm going to give my opinion on what we just discussed, which is the new age media versus traditional. Here's my thought process. People nowadays, when it comes to their teams, are insatiable. So one person who covers a team, or multiple people who cover a team from different outlets, cannot provide near enough the amount of information that the average person would like to consume on a daily to weekly basis for their team. Whether that's the radio station with shows all day, whether that's the newspaper with people sending in stories, people blogging their stories onto the newspaper's website, whether that is the traditional Jaguars.com type of thing for the Jags here in town. There are not enough sources for people to get their information. Therefore, that's where blogs came fast and furious onto the scene. There are people that have opinions that didn't necessarily go to school, and regardless of even the school part of it, but don't have the traditional access to be able to output their information. So the internet was this moment where you have the demand and the supply meeting at the perfect junction. I am a huge fan of blogs. And of people who write blogs, regardless of whether they've ever been in a locker room. It does not matter to me. I just love to read predictions. I love to read previews. I love different people's analysis. Do I trust necessarily a source that I've never heard of when it comes to reporting something? No. But I'm also intelligent enough to know that unless someone has a source or direct access and they quote someone or they quote, or they, I guess I should say, link to the part that they've had an interview with the person, then I'm probably not going to trust it. But that goes not just to a national source, that goes to a local source as well. If Amanda reports that this weekend Dan Scuda may or may not play, I'm going to believe that Amanda was there. But just because someone else wasn't there and they report that, I'm still going to believe that. That's a factual type of information that they can obtain. However, I'm not going to believe someone that says Dan Scuda's never going to play again, and it's someone who's never been around the organization. But I think that's where the average person needs to evaluate the source that they're getting the information from. When Guys Girl is putting out phenomenal content about NBA games and football games and food that people are going to bring to a tailgate, and they're crossing the board when it comes to the content that they're putting out, and it's constant, I think that people should be rejoicing in that type of thing. And that's where I personally stand on all of it, is I want the full gamut, and I take it all in with a certain, I guess, discretion as to what I'm necessarily believing versus what I'm just putting in my brain to remember stats-wise.
Well, it's definitely, it's an integrity and it's an honesty aspect to it. You have to build up, if you own a website, you have to build up your readership just as a newspaper would have to, just as a magazine would have to. Your readers have to trust and find value in the content that you're providing for them. And even if it's a blog, if it's a team website, I think the Washington Redskins, they're rumored to have bought out all of their media. So now they're all team owned, and only if you're on the Washington Redskins payroll do you have access to the team, which is suspicious to me. I think you're only leaking out certain information and certain PR friendly information. So I wouldn't necessarily trust any information that comes out from the Redskins unless it was from an outside source. So I think you have to really trust wherever the content is coming from and if they're properly sourcing their stories, like you said, Lauren. Because I've worked on both sides of the coin where I worked for, I would call them a little shady for a website that was nothing but a clickbait website, and they would scroll Twitter and find different quotes and different stories, and that's what you would take and you would spin. It was almost like a rat race, and you had it as soon as you get it up. We would post a lot of times, it would be one video and you post it as soon as possible with the SEO keywords so you can make sure that you're the first to it. It wasn't about being right. It wasn't about offering quality. It was about being first, and that did not sit well with me, and that's probably why the relationship did not last longer than just a few months.
Absolutely.
But that kind of stuff, and there are a lot of websites out there, and I hope that readers can be smart enough to know what those websites are and what they aren't.
Yeah, I would say, not to put it on the same level, but the same type of way that you would read a message board, where it's some of the people who are commenting are completely and totally bombastic, and some of the people who are commenting are people who obviously have followed the team throughout the year and they've paid attention to different press conferences and things like that. Like, it's two different worlds. And I think that's what, you know, you have to assume when you're the person putting out the content, whether it's traditional or new age, that the reader or the listener, the viewer, is going to be able to absorb that information in the best way possible for them. And that's all.
You have to put your name to it.
Right. And that's all that you can do. So, without further ado, it is Ravelry weekend here in Florida, as well as across the United States. And every time it comes to this year, I mean this weekend in college football, I think to myself, how great would it be if the NFL, just as a sidebar, if the NFL had a rivalry weekend across its
league? Oh, that'd
be
fantastic.
It would, like, come on, learn from college and put them all in one weekend. But regardless, that's not what we're here to talk about. We're here to talk about certain big games, our predictions, and whether or not you can watch with someone from the rival team. So we're going to go through a few games. If you guys have a certain opinion, I'm ready to hear it. I, by the way, made lots of notes.
Wow.
As y'all know, I'm a college football junkie, so I like to dive into things that aren't necessarily on the surface. But that's why I do a college football show on Thursday nights, which will not be on this Thursday night. It is Thanksgiving. But I've had several people ask me if the show would still go on. No.
Nope.
No, it will not. I'm sorry. The Rush will return, though, next week. So join us at Brew G's Live or listen in online. Okay. We're going to start, and I'm just going to let you ladies know for a couple of these, just some information about them. I'm not going to have you pick them. Texas Tech at Texas. The trophy for that one? Chancellor Spurs.
Texas Tech.
Would you fight extra hard to win the Chancellor Spurs trophy?
No. Yes.
Yeah.
I love Texas, though, yeah. Like the state of Texas.
Exactly.
So yeah, I love Spurs.
You got to fight for it. One that I would say is probably not on a lot of people's radar, when you think of rivalries, you think Army-Navy, which is not this weekend. It's traditionally the weekend after. But this weekend is going to be Navy at Houston. Navy's 9-1, Houston's 10-1.
Oh, wow.
Navy has the opportunity, if they win this game, they will play host to the winner of the AAC champion from the East, which will either be Temple or USF. That game, I would assume, because it's at noon, might actually get more viewership than an Ohio State-Michigan game.
Oh.
Just based off of, okay, let me say, of the random college football fan. Someone who's like, oh, I don't really know what to watch. No, you don't think
no,
so?
No, I definitely think.
Well, I'm going to advise
Harbaugh
everyone.
Harbaugh and Meyer, that's going to be huge.
Watch Navy at Houston some, too. Don't just get locked into Ohio State-Michigan. Because Navy might act, or Houston might actually be playing for a potential chance in that playoff, and Ohio State, Michigan? Nope. All right, so let's pick them. Ohio State, Michigan, who's going to win?
I got Harbaugh. I'm going Michigan.
All right, I like it, the underdog.
I want Michigan to win.
But?
But Ohio State is seeking revenge coming off of their loss to Sparty, so I'm going to pick Ohio State.
Yeah, Michigan traditionally has not played well in this game as of late, but Harbaugh does throw in an added advantage.
Difference
coming,
maker.
Right. However, I've said all year Ohio State is talented. They just haven't really shown off their full talent because they're kind of riding, kind of like FSU did, they're riding that national championship.
That's what I was going to say. I've heard a lot of stories that I think that they kind of are a little, they're not as hungry. As
right.
previous years.
Right, which I get. I mean, if our show had just won, an Emmy or something, I don't know what a radio show
taking went. The night off.
Our award is, we're going to, I'm just kidding. We would work extra hard. Okay, Baylor at TCU. There may be two backup quarterbacks in this game, and one little nugget for you ladies. First time these two teams played was 1899.
Oh, wow.
I'm just dropping knowledge on you. All right, Baylor at TCU, who you got?
Baylor.
Ooh. Baylor
just lost a big one, didn't they?
They did.
Who did they lose to?
Oklahoma.
Okay. TCU's been hot this season, too, though.
Trevon Boykin may be back. It's rumored. Not
really?
Rumored. It's optimistic that he'll return.
All right. I'll do TCU.
All right. And I'm going to go Baylor as well because I think they've had a few more tough tests than TCU has. All right, Louisville at Kentucky, which nobody ever cares about except Blythe.
Who do you think I'm going to pick?
Louisville.
Yeah.
Naturally. Amanda?
Well, I'll go with Louisville, but
yeah,
I don't really
of course.
Know anything
You're going to HBC.
Good yes. choice.
And I'm going to go Kentucky. You know why? Because it's at Commonwealth
You're
Stadium.
You're dead to me.
Yep, that's what I should be. Alabama at Auburn, the Iron Bowl. I think this is an easy pick, but just want to make sure it's on the record.
Bama.
I am hoping and praying and crossing all my fingers and toes that the kick six happens once again.
Sure.
But it's not going to happen. Bama's going to take this one.
I think so, too. Okay, so this year's Egg Bowl has a lot of twists in it.
Really quickly before we move on.
Of course.
Sorry, I have a story about the kick six. I was working. Sorry. I'll never forget this.
I love it. I love stories.
I was working for IMG College at the time. Which, for those who don't know, they own the rights to basically every single college football radio broadcast for every game. And it's essentially like a big room with a bunch of cubicles, and in every cubicle, that's your station where you're running the game. So I was the studio host and producer for Boston College, and next to me could have been Syracuse, and then Auburn, and then Alabama, and Florida, whatever, like all in this huge room. And so when crazy things happen, everyone hears it, and you know. And I'll never forget that my game was just about to end, and so I had my headset on, and I heard, a bunch of people going crazy. And as it was happening, they, turned up the volume to the call of the kick six, as it was happening live, and we all were just what is it?
Oh,
we're all working. We're all working our own game, but we, stopped to listen to this call of the kick six, and it was just incredible.
That's awesome.
Incredible. It was so cool.
That's certainly something to remember. I think that to me is one of the really cool part about sports is it, as much as it happens in politics and current events, and a lot of times it's sad, so I think some people kind of block it out. But with sports, you always want to remember where you were and who you were with and that
what you
moment.
Were doing in that moment.
Right, that moment that not your life changed necessarily, I guess unless you're an Alabama or an Auburn fan for that game, but just where you could be like, oh, I remember where I was. Yep. I was, you know.
And the coolest part about that was ESPN kept using the IMG audio call. So, like, every time they would play it, it was that call. And I was like, I listened to that. I was in the room.
I love it.
All right, moving on.
All right, so Ole Miss at Mississippi State. If Bama somehow loses to Auburn, Ole Miss goes to the SEC championship game in Atlanta as the SEC West champion. What do you think? Dak Prescott as the Mississippi State quarterback has been record-breaking this season. Who wins, the Rebels or the Bulldogs?
I like the Rebels only because if I had to do college over again, I would go to Ole Miss.
Okay. Really good point. The Grove is just lights out, one of the best places to ever tailgate.
That's what I've heard.
They're chandeliers, dude.
I am a Dak Prescott fan. I think he's going to pull through.
Okay. So we've got Rebs, we've got Bulldogs. I'm going to say the Rebels just for the fact that I would love Bama to lose, and I would love my team to face Ole Miss again in the SEC Championship, considering
you just don't want to face Bama because you know you're going to lose.
I'm not saying I know we're going to lose. I'm saying I think we're going to lose. A couple more really quickly. Notre Dame at Stanford, who y'all got, because that's a really important one when it comes to the playoffs.
I think Notre Dame would win that one.
Okay.
It would be close. Really?
Just because I think that what did I hear the other day? That the Pac-10 is so, it's like top to bottom is so, I'm sorry, the Pac-12 is so, like, top to bottom is the best conference in the United States.
Notre Dame has had one of the worst months in college football, yet they've survived. But I'm going to go the Cardinal just because I love saying the Cardinal because it's one of the coolest mascots.
You know what's funny? You just chose the Kentucky Wildcats.
Yeah.
I chose Louisville Cardinals.
Right, cardinal, because it's the cardinal, because it's a tree.
Oh,
which Suck I don't blood.
Understand. Oh, yeah, that's true. It is a tree. So, Stanford tree.
For those who don't know.
We got a break. That's what, for those who don't
we
know.
We do have to take a break, but really quickly, Toby Gerhart played for Stanford, and someone hung a Notre Dame hat in his locker today.
Someone? We don't know who?
No.
Whom?
No.
Who's in
it wasn't me.
Notre Dame
that's what you're looking at.
Is anybody on the team in Notre Dame?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. I think someone did it obviously as a joke, but I don't know who did it. Why are you looking at me like that?
Because you're the one who reported the story.
Yeah.
That's why I'm looking at you. Like, I think it's fun.
I thought you were looking at me like I'm supposed to know who did it.
No.
Guilty conscience?
I wish it wasn't me. I'm like, I didn't ever thought
I wish
it was
I could. I wish I had that thought.
I think it's a fun story. All right, so we have one game left to pick. We will do that coming up next. What game is it? It is Florida State. It is when Amanda and I will swear off speaking to each other for an entire weekend, except we first have to report what happened to us last weekend. You're listening to Helmets and Heels, built by Dreamfighters Homes on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Girls just want to talk football. More Helmets and Heels, built by Dreamfinders Homes.
Presented by Underwood Jewelers and American Window Products.
Now on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
We belong in a studio full of turkey and chocolate. Thank you to Stan for, as always, providing us with essential nutrients to get through this two-hour show. Sometimes. So I just picked a winner for our Peterbrook Chocolate Heel, and it ended up going to the very first person. It was a random selection, but the very first person who actually tweeted me ended up winning, at Chef Jags. He and his wife actually work on Thanksgiving, so today they were already cooking their beautiful bird. So I said, what a beautiful early bird.
How rude not to send any our way. I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
She's not. Her address is 9090 Hogan Road. So thank you to them for submitting that picture, and we hope that they have a fantastic early Thanksgiving, because it doesn't matter when you have it. It always matters that you give thanks. And hopefully I will be giving thanks this Saturday night, 7:30 p.m. kickoff, mm-hmm. when the Orange and Blue take on the hideous Garnet and Gold. I don't even like to talk about it. So earlier this season, I thought...
Really? Florida was, I love it.
Yeah, of course you do. We'll re-chat, you know, next week. But so the last words we'll speak to each other, Amanda, are tonight.
Okay.
What do you think's going to happen and why?
I always get nervous about this game because, as you know, anything can happen in rivalry games. A lot of people are picking Florida State to win, which makes me nervous. I hate that. Because anything can happen and because both teams have struggled, I know that Florida struggled a little bit more but still managed to win. Quarterback situation in Gainesville with Treon gives me confidence that the Noles can get things done. My concern with Florida State is their young offensive line. They'll make so many mistakes, so many false starts. They've never played in the Swamp before. Makes me a bit nervous. I think it will be close, and I don't want to say this, but I have this weird feeling that Florida's going to win.
Really? Okay. Yeah. That surprises me.
I don't
just
want
a little
it to
bit.
Be true.
Right. No, I hear you. I understand where you're coming from because it is tough to play on the road at night in a really loud city. And Blythe, you're a Florida State fan. What you got? Who's winning?
I think Florida State's going to win, but I mean, fan-wise, like I don't know. Ever since Louisville joined the ACC, it's like, well, my fanhood has waned a little bit on FSU. I still like them. I still pick them to win. Like, they're my team in the state of Florida. So I definitely think they're going to win. I hope they win because Gator fans are awful to deal with.
Thank you.
They are. Lauren.
I already said at the top of the show when we did Cross Traffic Frank, right. I think Florida State's going to win. I still haven't come up with a score. I usually do that on Thursdays because I'm used to my brain working as we have the rush on Thursdays. So I always leave it to that day. So I'll tell you on Thanksgiving. Maybe I'll tweet it out. But I do. I think Florida State's going to win. I just think y'all have weapons that we don't have. You know, if you want to compare Dalvin Cook and Kelvin Taylor, there's not really a comparison.
Right.
Your offensive line is young, but they still are productive. Our offensive line is so banged up. We've got issues across the board at different places. You guys have two quarterbacks you can go to. We have one. And so I think at the end of the day, no matter how many tricks McElwain has up his sleeve, no matter how loud our crowd is, I just don't see how we're going to put up enough points to be able to beat you guys. But, you know, it, like you said, it's going to be a heated contest. I wouldn't be surprised if it ended up being the way that Florida has won recently, 10-9 last year when the Gators beat Tennessee. What was it? What was the score against Vanderbilt? Like 14-10? I don't even remember. I was too nervous that game. 9-7. Thank you. I was going to say, we didn't get 14 points. I have to pause. Yeah, 9-7 against Vanderbilt. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if it was one of those games. Florida State beat Florida in the Swamp a couple years ago, gaining less than 100 yards of offense.
Is this a bigger game for you, Lauren, over Florida-Georgia?
They're so drastically different. Florida-Georgia, to me, is one of the biggest celebrations of living in Jacksonville, of having family that comes in from out of town, or friends, really, that are like family, that come in from out of town, of seeing everyone, of it being just the most festive atmosphere. And then once it gets to the game, then I'm serious. And, you know, I don't want to sit on the Georgia side. And, you know, I just love everything about it, though, until it gets to the game. And then I still love that. But I'm a diehard, so I'm going to scream and be upset if we lose. Florida State is so different because it's not a neutral site game. And also, I do have a lot of family that went to Florida State that are kind of in my ear all year long.
So it's bragging rights for a whole year.
So it's a lot of bragging rights. It's also not a festive atmosphere, I would say, in either Gainesville or Tallahassee. I've been to both several times. It's not a fun, like, where someone at the end of bantering is like, oh, good luck. It's like, I hope we bash your team's face in, and then they walk away. So to me, it doesn't have like a southern atmosphere to it. It's almost like what I would predict Florida State Miami to be like, whereas like you literally hate the other team. I mean, that's how I feel. Like I would be fine if Florida State won 49-0. I mean, sorry, Florida beat Florida State 49-0. And whereas Florida Georgia, I would almost rather be competitive, as strange as it sounds, just for the atmosphere
right.
effect of all
and
of it.
And you said hate week doesn't exist.
Yeah, it doesn't exist as far, like, I don't walk around, and if I know you and you're a Florida State fan, I don't say, like, I hate you, or I hope you
suck. I don't do that either.
But I think there are people who, and it may not be in person, but I think on Twitter who say things like that. All right, so before we run out of time, a quick funny story.
We need to correct ourselves really quickly.
Oh, yes, we do.
We said that no one, we completely forgot because that's what we do all the time.
Because we're in the midst of talking.
Yes, because we were thinking about other things. Both Sergio Brown and Ben Koyak went to Notre Dame, so it could have been either of them.
Definitely Sergio.
Sergio is so much of a vociferous player and boisterous player that I never think that he went to Notre Dame.
Right.
And Ben Koyak, even though we've had him on the show, I just have a tendency to forget that he went there. But so before we get to the injury update, really quick, funny story. Amanda and I went to a bar over the weekend, and a guy came up to us.
It was a restaurant bar.
Yeah, okay, a restaurant bar, you're right.
Sorry.
We did have dinner and drinks. It was a date.
It was.
So it just brought up the funny story of when a drunk guy walks up to wherever you are, or a drunk girl, I guess, if you're a guy, how do you deal with it? Because I think we almost took opposite stances on how to deal with it. So, Blythe, a drunk guy walks up to you at a bar / restaurant. What are you going to do?
Is he cute?
there's a lot of questions that go, have I had a few drinks?
You've had a few drinks, but he's not that cute.
He's not that cute, then no.
Okay.
Boy, then no, what do you do?
Like, how do you get him
away?
What if you're sitting at your dinner table? How do you walk away?
Tell him to leave.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, it's not that easy. I don't like being mean, all right? I have this thing where if someone walks up to me, I feel like I can't push them away. I don't want to be mean. I can't say, excuse me, can you leave? I've never said those words. If it were like a bar, I would totally be like, oh, my friend's over there. Gotta go. Right. See ya. Whatever. But we were literally sitting at the dinner table. We could not leave.
Yeah. I feel you. Like, that's a little, you want to be as nice as possible, but still at the same time, like, dude, you're trying to eat.
And then when drunk guy continues to pour his heart out to you about really specific family issues, you can't just be like, okay, bye. You have to then.
That's when you look to his buddies and be like, can you help
me? You know what?
SOS.
His buddies wanted to get rid of him just as much as we did.
All right, so my favorite part of the story, I'm of the inclination to say, hey, we're not interested in speaking to you anymore. This has been fun. But I kept looking up at Amanda's sweet face, who was like super nice. And so I was like, all right, until she has enough, I'll be patient. And then even our waitress came up and she goes, you guys didn't know him? And we were like, no. And even the person behind Amanda leans in right after he walks away and goes, I kept trying to come up with something in order to get him away from you. And we were like, come on. But so the best part about the whole thing, but right before we get to the injury update, best part about the whole thing is he goes, so I'm on vacation. And we're like, okay, great. Congratulations. And he says, but it's been like work. And we're like, okay, I don't know what that means. That it's supposed to be vacation. And he says, I had to gel my hair. That's work.
That's the line. That's going to get her.
And
I totally forgot about that, by the way. That's when
I wanted to be like, sir, if
you
I can
need
call
to leave.
You, sir, you're going to have to hightail it before I punch you, and then you will get a concussion. And that will lead us to our Fair and Ferret injury update.
We were born before the wind. Also younger than the sun. Yeah, the Bonnie Boat was one as we sail into the mystic.
You're listening to Helmets and Heels, built by Dreamfinders Homes.
Presented by Underwood Jewelers and American Window Products.
On 1010 XL, 92.5 FM.
Our producer, Scott, just gave me a great idea. Next time one of those random drunk guys comes up, I'm going to say, I would like for you to just sail into the mystic right now. And if they don't get it, I'm going to say, then you don't listen to Van Morrison and we can't be friends. And if they do get it, I'm going to say, for real, you need to sail into the mystic. Not that this happens to me very often. I think it happens way more to you, Amanda.
Oh.
But regardless, hi, Tony.
Hi. Hey, Tony. I wanted to be noted that...
Tony's going to tell us how to deal with drunk
guys. No. Alex is here tonight from the UK.
Alex is here.
And
he brought
Alex,
his presents.
He got to bear witness to what I deal with every Tuesday night when I walk in here. It's about like that every Tuesday. I'm not saying that I mind, but it's about like that every Tuesday where they do all the like... because they don't see each other all the time. The girls don't. They hang out a little bit basically on Tuesday nights. I know you two usually hang out on the weekend, but you're not this weekend. So whatever you need to say all gets done in an hour, and I'm in here for the last 5 minutes of it. So it's whatever they forgot to talk about in the first 55, I'm basically privy to in the last couple.
Hey, we're 2 hours now, Tony.
Excuse me, 2 hours. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, and even that doesn't, I guess, quite, you know, cap everything that we have to say to
each
other.
Yeah, because we still email nearly every day.
Tony, I heard you have a job this weekend besides your job on Sunday.
I do.
Sunday.
I would keep your expectations low. But,
well,
yeah.
I would like to tell everyone to tune in right now.
Yeah. It's my first time doing basketball. And I did.
Are you nervous?
Not really.
Good.
Not really, because it's for TV. It's not even for radio. So I'm basically just commenting on what I see instead of really having to tell everybody what's happening in front of me. Radio is completely different. I did the high school football for the first time this year, and I envy, honestly, I envy the people who get to do college and NFL. I really do, because you have a 40-second play clock, and you have real timeouts in college and the NFL. And in a high school game, you have a 25-second play clock, and they don't care about your timeouts because they're not scheduling anything for radio or TV. So basically, from the time it kicks off until the 2 hours later when you're done, it is just a marathon sprint is all you're doing. It's like, here's what happened, blah, 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 and you try to give the color guy 5 seconds to describe what he may have seen, and then you're on to the next play. And so I get to listen to, like, the Jaguars broadcast every week with Frank and the boys, and I'm like, man, that's nice. Like, you got time to breathe. You got time to digest the play, to talk a little bit about what somebody may have seen or caught. When I'm doing the high school games, it is seriously just, oh, it's time for the next snap. Oh, it's time for the next snap. Oh, a touchdown. We'll be back in 30 seconds. Like, that is the whole broadcast, and I envy those guys.
Yeah, and you wonder why it's difficult to be a sideline reporter, like, because you have to basically insert yourself.
I know.
When,
yeah, you're like, hey, I have something to say. Listen to me.
I know. We only had one for, like, 2 games this year.
And That's it?
Yeah, every time Scott would tell me that, you know, Patrick is ready on the sideline, I'd be like, let's go down to Patrick. And I felt bad for him, too, because he knows we got no time to do any of this.
Yeah.
Right? Like, he's trying to update an injury. He's like, it looks like an ankle. Bam! Like, it's that kind of thing. But that's how the high school works. So I'm looking forward to trying something else where it may not be quite that kind of chaotic.
You know, I would say that it will be a little bit slower. But, you know, with basketball, it can at times get fast and furious.
Sure.
Fast and furious.
Fast and furious. That's right.
Oh, fast and furious.
Fast and furious. Tony loves this story that he's about to tell.
This takes me back to last Thursday night. All right, I sit next to Amanda in the press box every week.
You're lucky.
It's Wig, Amanda, me, and then Gibson and Hacker and whoever heck else is there.
Okay.
Is on the other side of all that. Well, anyway, we're at halftime of the game last Thursday night, and I don't know how the discussion came up. With me, movies are going to come up at some point. It's going to happen. It's bound to happen.
About every 10 minutes.
Yeah, well, I learned that she was scared of E.T.
Hate E.T.
Right? Like, scared of E.T. as a kid, which I can understand. When he goes to the white, like, white powdery, that noise he makes, it's a scary noise. It's a scary moment, especially for a child. So then,
learned a lot already.
Since that's kind of in the world of sci-fi, I didn't even ask for this. She just volunteered. She's like, here are my favorite sci-fi movies. Right?
Oh, God.
And she just starts going down this really weird type of list. She's like,
give me some of them.
She's like, Hunger Games. I'm like, okay, that's more fantasy than it is sci-fi. Like, that's the first thought I had. It's more fantasy than sci-fi. But okay, Fast and Furious. And I was like, no. Like, that's nowhere close. To me,
Fast and Furious is like sci-fi because it's just not real.
No.
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 I think you're thinking of fiction.
That's fiction. Which would be in like any non-documentary style movie.
They're in crazy places.
They are in crazy places. But I hate to break it to you, Amanda.
Oh, God.
Dubai is a real place.
You're right, it is.
Dubai is a very real place. And I agree that they probably didn't drive that car between the two buildings.
They did not. I know that Fast and Furious is not a sci-fi movie. I was trying to let you know that that's how much sci-fi I love, which is none.
Right. Because the whole thing started, I think, with a discussion about Star Wars and Star Trek. It may have been the picture of Blake and Mariota.
It was.
As Kirk and Spock. Yeah. And, but because it was a really funny picture, and she was like, even I get this. And I was like, what do you mean, even you get this? Like, you've never seen any kind of Star Trek anything? She's like, no, I hate Star Trek and Star Wars. They're all the same. And I'm like, no, they're not even close to the same thing.
I hit a nerve.
Like,
quickly.
It's not like a super nerd thing with me. Like, saying Harry Potter and Lord of the Rings would get me going. Like, Star Trek and Star Wars. Whatever.
Next time. We have Sunday.
Whatever.
We still have Sunday.
Yeah, and we found out, like, T-Wick hasn't even seen E.T.
Nope.
That's shocking.
Yeah.
That anybody...
Wait,
anywhere.
But wasn't he in, like, the military then?
I don't know.
So that I think like, that gives you an excuse.
He's, like, 40 well, years old. He's had kids. How has he not seen E.T.?
You know what I watched this weekend for the first time ever, and you're going to judge me, and that's fine.
Okay.
I finally saw Zoolander.
Yeah.
For the first time. You're so late.
I know.
You're so late to that
party. You
should
have, like, live tweeted it. That would have been fabulous.
Gosh.
Listen, I only genuinely laughed in one part.
I can get that.
It's not. It's not my favorite.
Was it the gas fight? Because the gas fight's funny.
That was funny, but it was stupid. It was
orange
when...
decaf mocha frappuccinos.
No, the part I laughed at was when, I don't even know their names, when Will Ferrell built, like, a replica of Zoolander's, like, soon-to-be school, and he's like, what is this, a school for ants? This has to be at least three times bigger
three
to
times.
Fit anyone's size.
It's just a learning center for ants. Zoolander. I saw the preview for Jesus, Zoolander 2 today. And I was like, I was cackling watching the preview for Zoolander 2 because that was like, what that came out when I was like 15. And it was just.
Really?
Yeah, it was just the right kind
young?
Of. It was that kind of tone. Right? Like, it was just the right kind of tone for me at that age where I'm like, this is one of the funniest things I've ever seen. Like, I can watch it now, and because I have some kind of nostalgia towards it, I still laugh at some of the stuff they do. But if I saw it for the first time today, I'd probably be sitting there going, this is a really dumb movie.
Oh, it was
like,
so dumb.
Like, this is really stupid. And I'm watching the Zoolander 2 preview, and I'm like, why am I laughing at this? Like, there are bits happening that I'm like, this is not funny. Why am I laughing at this? But because of how I feel about Zoolander, I'll probably wind up seeing the second one.
Did you watch The Hunger Games?
I did.
How was it?
I went and saw it today. Has anyone else seen it?
I haven't.
I know it's her favorite sci-fi series.
It is. I have not seen it yet.
Did you read the books, Amanda?
No.
Okay.
It was a stern no.
I wish I did.
Okay.
I
read all of the books.
Yeah?
Yeah. And? They're good. I'm just not a movie person. It's physically impossible to get me to sit down for like 2 to 3
hours.
Or more hours and lock into a movie.
It's about 2.5 with previews.
I can't do it.
What's your opinion on The Best Ninja Turtle?
Yeah, I saw y'all tweet back and forth, and I was like, if I had not seen these tweets, I wouldn't have been able to
We were
come
discussing
up.
Medieval artists.
Right, exactly. I wouldn't have been able to come up with them other than the fact that they are medieval artists.
You never
I
watched
don't...
Ninja Turtles as a kid?
No.
You're
too
young.
My life
existed
of, like, playing outside.
I'm not too young.
I already know you're too young.
There's a new generational Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, there's a new Turtles. There was the Turtles when I was a kid. That is the Ninja Turtles.
Iconic.
My mom took me out of school on the day that all three movies got released. Like, she took me and my brother out of school. That's how much of, like, a Turtles fan I was. It was like a vacation day for me and my brother to go see all three of those terrible movies.
They came out all at the same time? They couldn't have come out all at the
same
time.
No, not at the same time. I'm talking about I went 3 different days I got out.
Oh, wow.
Like, the premiere days. Like, the third one. There's
the
no reason
thing.
For anyone to get out of anything for that third
you
movie.
You know, I don't mind the third one.
At least Vanilla Ice was in the second one.
I miss perfect attendance each year from Catholic school to go to the Florida homecoming.
Nice.
And then, you know, go to the game. You missed perfect attendance for the Ninja Turtles.
I remember.
I think it's the same value.
For Ninja Turtles, I remember she got me out of school for Demolition Man and Major Payne, I think. She took me out of school one day just to take me and my brother to see Major Payne.
I think she really just wanted people to go with her.
Seriously. Like, it's part of the reason that I love the Turtles as much as I do is I was never a Sesame Street, like Mr. Rogers, like none of that stuff was my thing.
Probably a good thing.
And it's partially because it was never my mom's thing. So, like, if my mom was watching something with me and she thought it was stupid, she would comment. Even though I was a child, she'd be like, this is dumb. Like, why would anyone? And as a kid, I'm like, well, I don't want to be dumb. So, like, if there were cartoons that she enjoyed or at least could stand, those were the things that we watched. So, like, Ninja Turtles, Transformers, He-Man and Masters of the Universe was my thing as a kid.
What about Gargoyles? I liked Captain Planet.
Gargoyles was cool.
Gargoyles is up there for me.
Captain Planet's cool.
Yep, that's the other thing.
Animaniacs was the best. Just the best.
Rugrats.
We did an Animaniacs sketch in church. That's how much we loved the Animaniacs.
Wow. What is it, the state capital song, I believe?
Yeah.
Or the countries that
they
I still...
They did the countries and the capitals, and they did a couple different ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Way to go, guys.
The stereo was the same thing. But y'all don't have a favorite Ninja Turtle?
No.
That you have to think about it.
Don't ask me what color they were.
Is there... No. I forget the names. D'Angelo, is that one?
Donatello.
Do you know what color Donatello wears?
No. Blue.
Oh.
You guys, you set me up for this.
Oh.
D'Angelo. D'Angelo.
She went with D'Angelo.
Do you expect anything else from me? Come on.
Now, I know Blythe.
My true colors are showing.
And I know how she, who her least favorite turtle is as well. I told her on Twitter today that it's a personality test that I give to my friends. If they watch the Ninja Turtles, I'll ask them who their favorite was. And girls that you ask overwhelmingly say Raphael. Overwhelmingly will say Raphael because he was the bad boy of the group. He was the loner. He was the one who always got him in trouble. Like, Raphael...
He was just trying to be a leader.
Raphael...
Be understanding.
...was the most teenagerish of the Ninja Turtles. Like, he was the one that has all the characteristics that you hate about 15-year-old kids. Like, he's moody... And he's alone.
He's only moody when Leo's around.
Emo. He's emo. Rafi is emo.
How
Leo,
dare you insult him?
Leo was the de facto
the
leader.
One.
And he had the coolest weapons of anybody in the group. Katana
I agree.
Blades? Katana blades.
You can't just walk around with katana blades, though.
That's
pull
awesome.
Pull a sai out at any time.
And what's a sai do?
A stab?
It stabs at a shorter range than a sword.
And they're always kicking anyways.
No, for guys, there's a correct answer. And for the guys today that were going after Leonardo at the expense
you
of a guy
Irish
like
Jag.
Raphael, I was like, Raphael? I was
Irish like, Jag picked him as his favorite,
too. I know. What is wrong with
he
him?
He put a little Titans logo on Leo's
he blue, did.
Blue wrap.
What is wrong with him?
I He's am just lost accurate. In this conversation.
And anyone who picks Michelangelo is just
From
a psychotic person.
I like D'Angelo. That's what I'm saying.
Psychotic. That's who picks Michelangelo because he was just a loon, is all Michelangelo brought to the group.
But see, Raph and Mikey were good friends.
Mm-hmm.
They were like probably the best of friends. And I felt like they balanced each other out. And when Leo came into the mix, he was always just like the Debbie Downer of the group, the D'Angelo Downer.
He was the alpha. He was the
he
guy.
He wanted to be the alpha, but he didn't project it.
He was the alpha, and Donatello is the nerd. Like, Donatello is the gap between Mikey and really cool, because Donatello was always the tech guy. He was a smart guy, and then he would be the guy sitting in the corner eating pizza and talking about April. Like,
he's my second favorite.
Yeah, Donatello.
I think before next week, I would like the two of you to come up with which quarterback you think most relates to Raphael, Donatello, Michelangelo, and Leonardo. And I would like for to just think about it and then come back with some of those.
Leo, J. Cutler.
Okay, like I said, I would like you to think about it and come back next week.
And it's attacking my Vanderbilt guy. I mean, it hit all levels there. Oh, my goodness.
All right, Tony, what you got coming up besides the Ninja Turtles?
Going to talk a little bit about the College Committee rankings coming out tonight, especially Florida at 12, and I'm going to tell you why. That's exactly where they deserve to be, and why Gator fans should start getting nervous about that place at 12. I know Ohio State jumped up a bunch of spots in the last couple weeks last year, but Ohio State was beating people by 50. I don't see Florida turning that kind of gas on at this point in the year. Also going to get into the Jags against the Chargers this weekend, especially their history specifically against Phillip Rivers, which is not a pretty one, as well as the box office breakdown. I did go see Hunger Games. I also saw Spotlight. So I'll talk about both of those. Spotlight was, it's going to be up for a bunch of Academy Awards, and very deservingly so.
Absolutely.
A little bit later on tonight, and it's Thanksgiving here in a couple days, so we'll talk about that tonight as well.
That's right. I just now realized that we had such a packed show, we never even got to our Thanksgiving must-haves, but...
Turkey.
Favorite side, quickly. Mashed potatoes don't count.
Broccoli casserole.
Yeah, mine is for sure the famous sweet potato pie.
Ugh, overrated. I like stuffing.
Any specific type?
No, my mom makes her own, so it's not like we buy it. She makes her own, and I had a revelation with stuffing. I used to hate it, and then one day I liked it, so that's why it's my favorite now.
We had oyster stuffing one year. Oh, so good. Oyster stuffing.
It's the best.
Phenomenal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh. Absolutely delectable. All right, Tony, take it away on Fat Tuesday.
I've yet to have a bad stuffing, but oyster stuffing certainly is towards the top of any list. We'll get started with the Fat Tony Show here in just a couple moments. Thanks again to the ladies of Helmets and Heels.